let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm sitting in the studio with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you today.
Howdy. How are you doing?
Boy, what a gorgeous day it is out there today.
I love spring. June, don't you?
I do, yeah. It's really great. And for me, it's the best with all the flowers coming out and things like that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But then you feel your aches in your back, right? Because you're out doing all the June-type things you have to do, right?
All that weeding. Weeding and planting.
Right.
So it's great. So today we're going to talk about the story of the Israelites in slavery under Pharaoh and just how that is a story for today. You call it an allegory.
That's
For our life today.
It's absolutely necessary to look at this for us to understand ourselves and how we act and what we do, and actually the battle that we all fight. Everybody has a huge battle.
Yeah.
That's true, right? And so Moses is all prepared now. He's making his grand entrance.
Yeah.
And, he's done with the burning bush. That encounter has given him empowerment, you know. So he's going down and he meets his brother Aaron, okay?
Yeah.
And Aaron's going to be his spokesman, right?
Yep.
And so the relationship between Moses and Aaron is very important. You look at Aaron and he seems almost like a passive figure, but actually Moses gets everything done through him.
Right. Yeah. That's something that I didn't realize very much in the reading of this story, you know, in prior times.
Right. Yeah. And it's subtle. Okay. Mm-hmm. But all that dialogue between God and Moses before and how he set up Aaron to actually be the spokesman and eventually to be the high priest who actually does atonement. He's the mediator, but you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And so in our allegory, I like to liken Moses to our spirit, which is the deepest thing within us.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it many times, right? The spirit, the Eastern Orthodox call it our intellect, but you got to be careful because when we think of intellect, we think of our powers of reason.
Right.
They're talking about an intelligence that's way, way deep down inside of us, right?
Yeah, it's sort of the thing that drives us.
Yeah, and it makes itself known through our will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Will meaning the things that we do, essentially.
Yeah, right? Our volitional powers, mm-hmm. Okay? And so I like to look at the spirit as being that most interior part, as a mysterious part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to look at the soul as that part within us that has all these good things going on, okay? Volition, we're talking about will and emotions, memory, imagination, all those good things, okay?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, all these things are part of the Imago Dei in us. It's just amazing, right? But I like to look at Aaron as the will,
yep.
Okay? And so they're all charged up. Moses is all happy, you know what I mean?
I don't know if Moses is happy.
Maybe not that, but the truth of the matter is when they meet, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm.
Because what that symbolizes is a meeting of our most deep down spirit with our will.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when that comes together, we have perfect freedom.
Mm.
Because the spirit is to align the will into doing God's will.
Right.
Freely. Okay.
Right. Sure.
So we are, in a sense, autonomous in a good sense. Autonomous can be used in a good sense, where we actually use our freedom, our autonomy, to embrace God's will lovingly.
Yeah, and not feeling like it's like we're in some kind of a trap or in a cage. We have to do this.
Yeah.
We want to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We want to do it. That's freedom.
Yeah.
That's freedom, right? To say, I don't want to do it means captivity. And that's what we're going to get into in a minute here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now they meet the people. Okay. And, you know, they do all these signs and stuff. And the people represent the flesh.
Mm.
Okay. The senses. And you know how that is, okay? The flesh.
Yeah.
The flesh is a good thing, right? It is. It, you know, even that is congruent in some way to the whole idea of image of God, our form and everything, you know? So, and of course, when Jesus became incarnate, that really puts the stamp of approval on the flesh.
Sure, yeah.
Right, but the flesh, you know, and the will. Okay. Well, anyways, the spirit and this sweet moment, okay, the spirit and the will convince the flesh, the people, that, hey, they can seek out freedom. They, you know, they, this is a good thing. That unity is what we're made for, right?
Yeah.
And so the people at first are just so enthusiastic, okay?
Yep.
And then this is kind of like how it is whenever we were young, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're growing in the spiritual life, you know, and then, you know, the will controls the flesh to some degree, and we have some success and what have you. But then, Danny, there's another player in this whole thing, and that's Pharaoh.
Evil.
Right. Now, it's very delicate and theologically, what should we say, complex thing, this whole idea of evil in us, okay? Because we know that baptism removes original sin, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at that as you belong to Adam's family, right? You remember watching Adam's Family when you were a kid, right? And what's true about Adam and his family, you know, is true about us. We're death creatures and what have you. But when you're baptized, you belong to a new family, okay? And that's the family of Jesus, okay? And everything that's true about Jesus is true about us.
Sure.
However, the church says even though original sin is taken away, we still have this thing called concupiscence. And concupiscence can be an abstract thing. I mean, it's a big deal for, I don't know, Catholics used to know what concupiscence was.
Right, that word was not, I did not know that word the first time you said it, you know, many months ago.
Right. So, you know, you say it in a homily in church, everybody goes, what does he say?
That's a big word.
Concupiscence, it's great. Which means it's kind of, there's kind of a tendency, you know, to fall back on our sensory and our flesh in rebelling against the spirit, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, all this to say is that I think we mentioned this at the beginning in Genesis, that when Satan got into the head of Adam and Eve, he left something of himself in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a little seed, okay? And maybe you can look at concupiscence being a little bit like that, even though how that relates to the whole idea of original sin and taking that away. I'll leave that to the systematic theologians, right?
Sure, yeah.
But you see, there's always this thing in us, and I look at it, a little Satan seed that always wants to reconnect with its originator, with its master, which is the devil.
Yeah.
And so Pharaoh, in some ways, is that old nature part of us. I mean, he's external to us. There's the devil out there, and Pharaoh certainly represents that, you know, the dragon, you know, what have you, right? But he's always, you know, there's always something in us that's sort of irrationally connected and calls out, almost like, you know, the famous Dracula movies where Dracula comes in, you know, and there's something in the women that always sort of just driven and to their destruction. But there's, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. But isn't that our life?
Yeah.
Think about that, right? Now,
listen, this is something that just came to mind, and maybe we're going to cut this whole part out. But but I realized that Harry Potter, when Voldemort tried to kill him, do you know the story?
Yeah.
And he gets the sign on his head.
Yeah.
A part of Voldemort stays in Harry. That's the huge part of the story. And it's always trying to get back to make a connection to Voldemort.
Yeah, we need to leave this in, okay? Because it's the same thing is Lord of the Rings. At the very end of Lord of the Rings.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
Yeah, we need to leave this in, okay? Because the same thing is Lord of the Rings. At the very end of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Frodo, who's so courageously makes his way to the Doom, right?
Finally gets to the mountain.
And you say, Frodo, take it off.
Yeah.
Throw
the ring in.
But he gets this glazed look, and he says, which really says that this whole thing, Danny, is by grace.
Yes.
And the same thing here in our story, okay?
Right.
In spite of themselves, God saves them, and that's called grace.
Yeah, sure, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what does Pharaoh do when in this whole thing when Moses appears, you know, and he says, well, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Okay. You got to be kidding. He mocks this whole thing.
Right.
And isn't what Satan is, a great mocker?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not only he mocks, but he loads the Israelites, who are the flesh, with all sorts of troubles.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
More troubles.
Gives them more trouble. Yeah.
And more troubles. So the Israelites come to Moses. And they said, hey, things were better before you showed up.
Yeah, what have you done?
Yeah, right.
Now
right.
Pharaoh's mad at us.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, in some ways, you know, most of the Pharaoh's happy if they're just doing their slavery work. They're his captives and so on and so forth. And he works us to death and then we die, right? And, you know, but if the will is engaged with the flesh to steal him from, the steal the Israelites from Pharaoh, the devil really makes a big fuss about it, right?
Sure, yeah. He's losing
his flesh
people. Yeah.
The flesh says, okay, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. And of course, you see this time and time again in the winter wilderness when they say, you know, I want to go back to Egypt.
Right.
There we had
it
these
was
great flesh pots of food, almost as if it was a 5-star hotel.
Right,
and
yeah.
They forgot when they realized it's really Hotel California, right? Yeah,
they forgot about all the bad parts.
Yeah.
Only remember the good parts, that selective memory.
Whatever good parts there might have been,
The fact that they had food, they had a place to live with a, you know, roof over their heads.
But they had God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so hard to trust in God when God took them into the wilderness to test them. Okay.
Right. I was going to say, and God does that. That's the thing. He's testing
that.
Them.
Right. So this dynamic, this allegory of this is in my mind so important to understand the whole book of Exodus. And, you know, this all happened, we believe, on a historical level, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this scripture, like all scripture, is highly stylized. Okay. It's not written like, you know, modern history,
right.
You know, okay.
Like not journal entries every day.
Yeah.
Here's what we did.
Right. It's not written that way at all. Okay. It's highly stylized, but we believe it's historical that God broke into time and saved his people in spite of themselves. And that's the point.
Right.
Okay. And I just had that moment where I say, wow, there is nothing in me. There's nothing in me at all that I can say I've done this.
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm a creature of grace and mercy.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because our flesh is strong, you know, and then we have this, we have the sort of the devil within, in sense, you know, with that seed, but we have the devil without, and that's a real, real, real struggle, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, St. Paul in Romans says, put to death that old man, okay? So yeah. That's the image he uses, an old man. We all have an old man, an old woman,
mm-hmm.
right? And it still lingers around, even though we belong to God's family, you know, we're identified with Adam because of our baptism, you know, when we've been given this spark of life of the Holy Spirit within us, but there's a war within that matches the war without.
Yeah, wants me to deviate off the path.
Right. So the children of Israel are in captivity, and that's what they're used to.
Yep.
And for Moses, the Spirit, to work through Aaron, the will, to get the flesh to believe and to transfer their identity from being slaves to being free children is, you know.
It's a struggle.
That's a struggle, right? Okay, so Moses turns to Yahweh with a complaint. Why have you sent me? And Yahweh basically repeats the same speech that he said before. But he adds something. His purpose is that he will take Israel for his own people, and they will take him as their God. Okay. Yeah. This is in chapter 6, verse 7.
Yeah.
That's the covenantal formula. He does this because he just loves us.
Yeah. That's important. And it wasn't spoken before. It wasn't said to the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't get that, I don't think.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They, you know, I want to be your God. I can take care of you. You know, that sort of thing. And God's saying that to us all the time, right? But, you know, the people at this point are too broken to receive it, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, this teaches us that without divine help, nothing's going to get off the ground at all.
Sure, yeah.
Right. And Moses is still sort of tied in with this argument with God, and he says something really, really grotesque to God. Okay, Spirit says this to God, and he says, I have uncircumcised lips. Now, Danny, I don't want my imagination to go there, right?
Yeah, that
okay,
is a weird...
what that might look like, okay? But we have to take it as some deep down visceral revelation of Moses' most deepest fears, deepest angers. I mean, there's anger here.
Oh, yeah, okay? For sure. Yeah.
Why, God, did you make my mouth the way this is?
Yeah.
Okay? And he's so angry, he uses the most grotesque metaphor to explain it.
Yeah, the worst image that he could come up with. The worst image that he could come up with. Yeah.
And what's so important about this, Danny, we got to get this, okay? It's this. We all have that thing that we are even too ashamed to talk about.
Mm.
We may talk about it with our wives if in a very, moment where you're being very real, right? But we all have these things, you know, that we are ashamed. I talked about my bad arm, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't hide that, okay? It's just an obvious part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God every time I say Mass, I have it, because it's kind of like Moses saying, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. I'm saying I am deformed. I am lame, okay?
Right.
If I was a priest in the Old Testament, they wouldn't even let me be a priest because deformity cannot even come in.
Right,
In God, you know. And so it just keeps me so focused and so humble. And it's that, Danny, I just don't belong here, right? But by God's grace, it is.
You are here.
Okay, I am here, right? The same thing with Moses. There's all sorts of these insecurities that are deep within us that some of them are so personal we won't even express, right?
Yeah.
But again, Moses can't hide his mouth.
Right.
I can't hide my arm. There are things I can't tell you right now about my life, you know, that are just too raw, and, you know, I had to care. But all these things, in the end, were things that God had given me as a gift, as hard as they are.
Yeah.
And they've been hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a lot of weird things inside, you know, I had to deal with, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh, sure.
And they've been hard.
Well, every person, you know, every person has that.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right. And when God's pressed us to get out of our shells, we get angry because I can't do this.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, yeah, right. You can't do this. You just got to be as open as a book. You just open or open as a window.
Right.
And be real.
And humble. I think that's the you know biggest part of it, to say, okay, yeah,
right.
I got all this.
Right.
It's interesting because I don't feel like Moses is doing that at this point. I mean, he's not, he doesn't have that humility. He just is angry because God's making him do this and he's got this issue, this problem.
Right, right. So, you know, he's got, you know, how do you get the flesh to move? And that's always his struggle as mm-hmm. a leader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All of us has got to get out of our captivity because that's how Satan keeps us in captivity.
Right.
Isn't this an allegory? I mean, just so, so profound.
It is. It's amazing. And it has, you know, sort of really huge implications for us personally because of all the things that you talked about, but even bigger for the world, like global implications of all the bad things that happen because of this idea of flesh, you know, human trafficking and drugs and, you know, all
goodness.
Of those things. Just
see, Satan keeps, it's captivity. That's what it is. It's slavery in Egypt.
Yeah.
Right. And I think you're so right, Danny, for bringing that aspect into the whole thing. Right?
So it's a great story to help us to understand all of that from a way bigger picture. And I never thought about any of that, of course.
Well, you know, when you read it, it's interesting, okay? And sometimes we read it, we pick up these things subliminally,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But we don't put words to it. But, you know, with the allegory, it just helps us put words to it and say, whoa, this is what's happening.
Sure, yeah. Okay, well, great story. Gosh, it's a big one for this time in the Israelites' life.
That's right.
Okay, thanks so much for coming in.
Okay, Danny, God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com, using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.